All right, we're a couple minutes late. It's completely my fault. Richie, how much voice you got left?
I got a little bit, man, but I don't know. I don't know how I think now that I'm getting older at the games, I realized I'm a lot more silent than I typically am instead of just yelling my face off. And I was just quiet the whole game, like, man, until that late third, fourth quarter when we all know what happened, man. What a game.
Yeah,
You lost your voice at the tailgate just yelling at that microphone, man.
I don't know what you're talking about. I got no clue what you're talking about. Hey, shout out to the people that came out to the tailgate. Obviously, had a great time out there yesterday. We'll talk about the weekend. We'll talk about the game. Try and get some of you guys' thoughts in the comments and chat it up. But, man, what a fun one. Double Fries, No Slaw brought to you by Guthrie's in Tallahassee. The Guthrie's is out there flowing. The Jambalaya Girl was out there flowing. Did you get any jambalaya? Stuff's great.
I did not, but like my entire group had some and they all said it was phenomenal. Shout out to everybody that showed up to the tailgate. We had that was packed. Like I thought the Cheez-It Bowl against Oklahoma, we had a big tailgate. Man, we must have doubled or tripled the number of people we had out there for this one. It was phenomenal. Nothing but good vibes. Everybody in a good mood. I think everybody was confident and clearly we should have been.
Yeah, it was a ton of fun. If you came out, if you supported it in any way, we appreciate it. We've done several tailgates. That's the biggest one that I've ever been a part of. It was bigger both in tickets sold and walk-ups. It was bigger than New Orleans, which New Orleans was a really big one. We did a couple years ago for the UF Miami game that was really, really big at that same lot, but this one was the biggest one we've ever done, and it was nuts. Yeah. And hopefully we'll see y'all, and we won't see that many people, but hopefully we see you guys all in Clemson in 3 weeks because we're going to do it again up there. So,
Shout out Brooke Niles, Coach Brooke Niles of beach volleyball. Shout out the Morlocks. Kyle Morlock's parents were out there. You know, Michaela Edenfield. It was a star-studded event. Just a blast all around.
Bunch of FSU softball. You mentioned Michaela. Allison Royalty.
Yeah.
Kaylee Harding, Janai Kerr, Devin Flaherty, Devin's sister, McKenna, who plays on our beach volleyball team, was out there too. So a lot of fun. Had a good time. We enjoyed the day. Man, the tailgate was great, Richie. But as great as the tailgate was, that game might have been just a little bit better. So, you know the meme, and I won't even say like I was like worried about us losing. Like what I guess I was worried about is like, oh man, I'm gonna have to be nervous for this whole game, right? Like I really wasn't nervous in the fourth quarter last year because I thought, until the very end, because I thought we were dominant. I thought we had the thing won. And so my thought at halftime was like, man, this is gonna be a close game throughout. And then, you know, you just never know what happens at the end of a close game. And so I wouldn't say this is a perfect comparison, but it kind of reminded me of that. I'm not going to lie. They had me in the first half. And LSU was a couple of plays from, I wouldn't say blowing this thing open, because I don't think Florida State with their offense is ever going to be out of a game. But they were a couple of plays. If they go into halftime with a 13-point lead or a 17-point lead because they finish on a couple of drives, or, yeah, let's say 13, right, kick another field goal and a touchdown, it's a different feel. Now, Florida State got the ball first, so they could have obviously gone out and answered right away. But first half, and, you know, not to pat myself on the back too much, but I thought the first half would be close. I thought it would be a really good first half. I thought there would be pregame jitters. I thought there would be nerves on both sides, Richie. I thought that you would have Jordan made some stupid plays. LSU made some dumb plays. You know, like it goes both ways. They muffed a punt. They had some bad plays. But, like, when it was all said and done, Florida State was a much better team. And we said this, I think what I was so consistent about, why I was so confident about this game, I didn't necessarily know we were going to win by three scores, but I was confident that every position group on the field, Florida State had the advantage, with the exception of linebackers going in the game. I still think Florida State's linebackers were better last night than LSU's as well, just for what it's worth. But I thought every single position group on the field, Florida State had an advantage. Not only against, like, Florida State's receivers are better than LSU's receivers, or Florida State's quarterback's better than, but I do believe all that. I think they also had the advantage when matched up. I liked Florida State's receivers against their DBs. I liked Florida State's offensive line against their D-line. I liked our D-line against their O-line. I liked our running backs against their linebacker. Like, every single spot on the field I liked. And so that was my confidence going to the game. It wasn't like, man, how does FSU find a way to win this game? It's like, hey, if you just play better than them, which you are better than them, if you just play like it, you'll win. And that first half had me, I won't say nervous, but definitely like, come on, guys, don't do this to me. So first half thoughts.
For all the hate the man gets, shout out Adam Fuller, because that defense was put in some bad situations. Some of it was by their own doing. Like, let's make no mistakes about it. But when they had to, they buckled down, man. That when they got to that goal line and Lundy got that sack on Jaden Daniels, that was huge when it was fourth and one from the goal line. Didn't matter. That play broke down. Multiple fourth downs. LSU was 0 for 3 on fourth down in this game. This team, this was a total team effort. And, you know, being down 14-17 at the half, I'm with you, TJ. We were both confident heading into this game. We both picked us to win and thought there was a chance this could be a comfortable win. I don't think we saw 45-17 in the fourth quarter, but my goodness, this team came out to play. You know, for a team that only loves the transfer portal, my goodness, it seems to work out pretty well. We'll talk about some of these transfers here in a bit. But yeah, that first half was frustrating. I thought the defense won the first half for Florida State because, like you said, TJ, it could have been, you know, 31-14 at the half. But, yeah, you know, the defense responded when they had to. And it was just amazing to watch. We were both in the stadium, an electric atmosphere. You know, I took my wife. She said to me today, that was the biggest game I've ever been to. I'm like, yeah, two top 10 teams. And they were throwing haymakers back and forth for the first, you know, 35, 38 minutes until Florida State just said, nah, we're done with this. We're done here. Let's put the foot on the gas and get out of here. But, man, what a game. But, yeah, that first half was frustrating. You know, that 35-yard run on when there's 1 minute left in the first half that sets up the field goal. It should have been a tie game at halftime. But in its third and long, we know they're going to run the ball, and we were not prepared. Whatever. One bad play, I'll give them that. But they certainly responded in the second half in a big way. Adam Fuller, shout out, my man.
Yeah, it seemed like it was, you know, I mean, LSU was going to make plays, right? Even though I thought we were better than them in just about every facet, LSU was going to make plays in this thing. And so, yeah, like that long run, the first play of the game, they hit us on a nice pass. Oh, yeah, we got a little powder blue news. Let's throw it up there, Harlan.
Group and you ain't going to Florida State, what you doing?
Eddie, Richie and the Powder Blues, go Noles. Hey, I got some, speaking of recruiting, I like that super chat. Thank you, Eddie. And of course, Jalen is the GOAT. I think we've got some recruiting news coming. Maybe we'll talk about it tonight, maybe not, but that's a good reminder. So thank you for playing that super chat, Harlan. LSU was going to make plays, Richie. LSU was going to get off at times. And as nervous as you were in the first half, I wouldn't say nerd. Like, I didn't think, oh, man, we're going to lose. Even when we went down by 7, I was like, oh, man, this is just going to be a great game. And it was a really good three quarters. And it was a great fourth quarter for us. But the biggest thing for me is when you look up and see how, like you just said, Adam Fuller's defense dominated in the second half. I mean, obviously that last touchdown is a little frustrating just because you want to have the bigger score. But, like, who cares, right? Like, at that point, whatever. The way they dominated the second half to essentially shut them out, right, score with a minute to go, who cares, was just phenomenal. It was so good. And that was where it was, is you knew the offense would get clicking, and if the defense could just get you a couple stops, if the defense could just get off the field a couple of times, which they did a lot, fourth down situations, obviously the interception, they did a really good job with that. But the defense did just enough, actually probably did more than enough. Your offense was probably going to just keep scoring every time they had the ball. If we'd gone overtime and had six overtimes, I like us to win. But man, something changed at halftime. And we talked about this a ton, but what I think Mike Norvell does really, really well is he does a good job of getting his team to respond when they get hit in the mouth. And sometimes that is a comeback, and sometimes that is a comeback that falls short. Sometimes that is, you know, it doesn't always end the way you want it. I think about last year in the Clemson game, right? Go down 17 points. They cut it to a one-score game late. You probably never really had a chance. Same thing in the Wake Forest game. You were down three scores, but you fought back and you came back there. The LSU game, you found a way to win at the end. At Louisville, you found a way when you were down. Shoot, you were down against Florida at half, right? And so I think that they've done a good job. They did a good job coming back when Miami forced a third down on the very first drive of the game last year. That was all the adversity they had in that game. But, I mean, they still came back from it. I don't know if anybody got that joke or not. But, so I thought they did a good job of responding. And even though they were down at half, even though the third quarter didn't even start the way they probably would have wanted it to, Mike Norvell has always done a good job of getting them respond to any kind of adversity. Here's the question, though. Talk to me about Keon Coleman, Richie, because I think we knew it was a big pickup. I think we knew it was a big deal, but I don't think we knew it was this kind of a big deal. You know what it reminds me of? Last year, Verse had, what, two or three sacks? He had the blocked field goal. He had so many pressures and so many hurries in that LSU game. I know we played Duquesne first, but he really came out and just threw like an absolute I'm here party. I'm him. And that's what it reminded me on the offensive side of the ball from Keon Coleman. It was truly like, it was one of the greatest wide receiver performances you've ever seen. It was like Kelvin against UF in 2013. The difference was that team won four games. It was like Dalvin offensively against Clemson some of those years. It was just domination. Every time I touch the ball, I'm going to kick your ass. And that's what Keon Coleman did, Richie. Crazy game for the transfer.
TJ, I missed it live in the stadium. But when I got home and saw the highlight after the quarterback sneak when Jordan Travis got the first down, Keon Coleman is waving, saying, hey, just toss that bitch up. And he goes up and catches the touchdown for his first of three in the game. Yeah, man. That was his second touchdown because he had already scored earlier on this his first catch ever. The Seminole was a touchdown. But yeah, the one when after Jordan gets the first down and he's just waving like, guys, man coverage, throw it up. And he even tweeted today, he's like, I try to tell y'all there's no such thing as a 50-50 ball. Like, this guy, I love his mentality and his game was amazing. I remember pointing to my wife, Lindsay, I'm like, Keon Coleman right here, watch this. And that was the play when he threw his hand up that I didn't even catch it in the stadium. And she's like, whoa, he's really good. I'm like, yeah, he's. I knew he was good when he came to Florida State. I didn't know he was this good. But Keon Coleman, Jalen Ramsey could not stop tweeting about him last night. Went back and cut up on a lot of that today. Guys, if you're Florida State, just go scroll the timeline because it's a beautiful thing today. But my goodness, Keon Coleman is that dude. Johnny Wilson is a very, very good college wide receiver. Keon Coleman's the best receiver on this team. Next to Jordan, he's probably the best offensive weapon on this team. And I love Trey Benson, but I think Keon is that dude. And, man, I cannot wait to see him. He's going to have a few games where he has, two catches, 32 yards, whatever it may be. But I got the vibes last night that he's a guy, when there's a third and 11 in a big game, maybe against Clemson up in Death Valley, if you target him, he's going to get the ball and make that play. We got the type of athlete he is. The fact that he was in the top 8 rotation for Tom Izzo's basketball team at Michigan State tells me all I need to know. This guy is the real deal. He might be the best wide receiver at Florida State since maybe Anquan, Peter Warwick. I don't know. This guy, he has a chance to have a really special season.
Yeah, and what makes him so unique is he is just incredibly gifted physically. Yes. And, Rashad, you mentioned some of those great wide receivers. Rashad was obviously like super consistent and super clutch for you forever. But man, what Keon brings from just a athleticism, just the way he took that ball on that first drive, it was just nasty. And then the way he can high point it is absurd. And like you said, yeah, it was totally, Kobe Bryant in the low post saying, give me the ball when he's waving out there. That's crazy to me. And everybody's picking up on it. It's all over social media, but it was MJ. It was MJ saying, feed me the rock or Shaq down the post, Ruth. Man.
Just it was the it, shot.
Man. Hey, throw me the ball. This guy can't guard me. I was listening to, we had Blake on to preview the show. I was listening to Blake's breakdown and I'll tell you the truth. I don't remember the name because today and yesterday and everything has been a blur, but We had Blake on to preview the show on the game on Thursday. He ended up saying that Florida State targeted the same defender on the first three plays of the game. And I don't remember who that was. Sorry. I don't care about LSU's roster. Was
it Syracuse that transfer?
Might have been Searcy. I don't know. But anyway, we went after him three straight plays, and he said, and it was obvious that Florida State knew where the weaknesses were, and they exploited them. And that's what we thought, right? We thought that if they could take advantage of the matchups, they'd be in really good shape, and they'd do really, really well. And that's certainly what they did. So, all right, we got another super chat up there. Harlan, before we – yeah, you can throw that up real quick. Go ahead.
Fire up the war chant and plant the spear. Noles win. Noles win.
You know – hopefully I don't get old. Hopefully I don't get crucified for this take, but it says something about how about those halftime adjustments? Both sides of the ball was dialed in that second half. Absolutely. Absolutely a big, massive for Florida State. Again, don't crucify me for this take, but if there's one thing that I think Mike Norvell could improve on coming into this year is I think sometimes that the halftime stuff. And I don't know if that's because, you know, our talent has been down. And so we've had to kind of scheme around things. And then, you know, some of that gimmicky type scheme stuff doesn't work in the second half. But there have been a lot of times where I have not felt, but a lot of times it is on defense. I'll say that. A lot of times I've felt that our second half just wasn't there. You remember in 2021 where we had a bunch of games where we had a lead and then the other team came storming back, like Boston College and other games. Miami came storming back when we had a big lead. It seemed like we held on and we didn't fail all the way, but I didn't love halftime adjustments. And last night's game were the best halftime. I mean, just look at the freaking score. Were the best halftime adjustments that I've ever seen.
31-0 run.
Is nuts.
That's ridiculous.
And did it in like, you know, there were only 3 minutes left in the quarter when he did that. They did that in like 17 minutes.
Yeah.
That's what's ridiculous about it. And so, you know, 31 points in 17 minutes, like, it's not quite. I mean, that's pretty much choke it doke level.
TJ, so, this game gave me major 2012 Florida State Clemson vibes. When Clemson came out, scorched earth, they're taking it to us. And then Florida State reels off 35 straight. Chris Thompson goes nuts. James Wilder Jr. is just running over 18 defenders in the game. And, yeah, it was just they had no answer. And it was emasculating if you're a Clemson or if you're an LSU fan watching that game or if you're a Clemson fan in 2012. Yeah, man, it was fun to watch. And like I said, we were both in the stadium. And my confidence level was so high after that first touchdown in the third quarter. And then for them to just reaffirm everything time and time and time again, what a phenomenal night to be a Florida State Seminole here in Orlando, Florida.
Yeah, Jaheim Bell, another transfer that absolutely showed up and showed
that
out.
That last touchdown. Oof.
You know, and that is so emblematic of this team and this culture and everything else. And so I thought it was just so impressive that, you know, that run didn't matter. The touchdown didn't matter. We could have knelt it right there and we would have won by the same margin because they ended up scoring later anyway. And we'd have been fine. But that's not the mindset. The mindset is we're coming to crush people. And I know Jaheim wasn't on the team this last year, but how much have we heard? And guys, these players hear and read everything and they see everything and they're on Twitter and they see all of it. They're all searching their names. I promise you, they see what you're saying. Yes. But I'm just telling you this. They heard all offseason. They heard for the last 12 months that this was a close game, that this was just a one-point game against LSU, that Florida State was lucky to win it. They were lucky to get a blocked PAT. They were lucky that LSU muffed two punts. They were lucky that LSU didn't. It was their first game in the Brian Kelly era. They were lucky that Florida State had the week zero game. They were lucky that Mason Smith got hurt. They were lucky that Kayshawn Boutte wasn't playing to be himself. They were lucky that it was Daniel's first game. Florida State was lucky to win last year. I think the players heard that. I think Mike Norvell heard that. I know you as fans heard that, and we all listened to that crap all year. How many listen, I got something coming for y'all tomorrow. Listen, if you're not subscribed, do me a favor and hit that button right now because I got something coming tomorrow morning.
Yes,
I just told Harlan and Richie what it was. It's not the video that I've spent the most time on, but I have spent a long time. I've spent hours today on it, and it'll drop tomorrow morning between like 8 and 10. But it kicks ass. I just want to tell you guys that. You need to make sure that you're subscribed and see that because it is phenomenal. And I'm not patting myself on the back, but it is really good. I got the idea from somebody else, so shout out that person. But there's a lot of people who all week were saying, well, the reason I'm picking LSU, everybody picked LSU in this game. I mean, Florida State guys picked us, but everybody national picked LSU. And what they were saying is the big difference here is that I know people were confident beyond a shadow of a doubt. I know that LSU is better this year than they were last year. I know this LSU team has grown. I know they've gotten better. I know they've picked up key pieces in the portal. And they usually gave Florida State that same credit. But we know that LSU is going to not only play better, but they just are a better team. And so we like them to win. Most people like them to win close. People weren't really projecting LSU to blow us out. But nobody was picking LSU. Oh, I'm sorry, FSU. Pate didn't. JD and On3 didn't. Feinbaum obviously didn't. Joel Klatt didn't. Nobody was picking us. And everybody was confident of how this was going to turn out. And I think the players, I think Mike Norvell, I think the coaches. Jordan Travis on that last drive, lowering his shoulder to get a first down, as well as Jaheim Bell running.
Up 21 points. Jordan Travis said, nah, I'm going for it.
Come on, bro. Hey, I love you, man. But I don't need that, man. I don't. If it's the national championship game, I'm good with that. But up 21, bro, them shoulders are too important for my mental health. So please don't do that anymore. Richie, a phenomenal game. It was the third year in a row that Mike Norvell has outcoached Brian Kelly. Mike Norvell is 4-0 against Brian Kelly against the spread. And I said this when I went live on Friday, and I want to get your final LSU thoughts with it. But every time that Mike Norvell has faced LSU, there has been a talent disparity. And I'm sorry, face Brian Kelly, there has been a talent disparity. And you've seen Mike Norvell be able to elevate his team to compete with LSU. One time a 3-point loss in overtime, one time a 1-point win in New Orleans. But now that the talent is equal, you see what happens. Richie, we did a space about a week and a half ago, and the LSU, they were like, I mean, they didn't like call me out or anything, but they were livid when I said that Mike Norvell was a better game day coach than Brian Kelly. They were livid when I implied that Brian Kelly's had a better career. I mean, who would argue that? But that Mike Norvell was a better coach on the field right now. Better play caller, better putting in positions, better motivator, better right now. And if 4-0 against the spread doesn't prove it, if elevating less talented teams doesn't prove it, maybe the ass-kicking in Orlando proves it. But I got Mike Norvell as a better coach than Brian Kelly. More accomplished? No. But I think that's what last night proved as well.
And we talked about on the space, right? Brian Kelly is the more accomplished coach. There's no doubt about that. Nobody's going to argue that. But head-to-head, Mike Norvell is the better coach. And shout out Ashley Reamer on Twitter. She kind of pointed this out, right? Bobby Bowden said, you lose big, you lose close. You win close, you win big. Well, 2020, Mike Norvell against Brian Kelly lost 42-26 up at Notre Dame. The next year, he loses very close, 38-35 in overtime, a missed field goal by Florida State. Last year, they win 24-23 against LSU in New Orleans on a blocked PAT, and we all saw what happened last night. That is the definition of lose big, lose close, win big. Florida State is winning big. And TJ, we're going to talk about what's coming up this season in 3 weeks from now. I'm not counting 12-0 out right now. I might still be riding the high a little bit, but Clemson does not scare me at all. We'll see what happens against Duke tonight. But this team is special. They have a lot of quality, talented players, a lot of guys that are elite college football players, and some that are going to be really good on Sunday. But they have a ton of really, really good college football players, and this is going to be a fun season. Florida State favored by 29 this week against Southern Miss. Man, I just cannot wait. This season, this Clemson game coming up in a few weeks, don't let us win that game, TJ, because if we do, People are going to be blocking me on Twitter. Florida State fans are going to be blocking me on Twitter.
I feel like it's going to be less, but we talked about the LSU game for 6 months, and now we are just literally going to talk about Clemson, I feel like, for 3 weeks. Obviously, you got to go out and take care of business against Southern Miss. I think you'd probably play a D-plus game and probably still come away with a pretty sizable win there. Yeah. Boston College, also terrible. I was hoping they would win this week just so that it would kind of be like, hey, there's something for us to, focus on. Boston College, we're going to blow these next two teams out. It's not going to be close. Yes. And so it's focused on Clemson. You got to take one opponent at a time. But I don't think it's anything about Clemson. Now, we'll see them tonight, and we'll see kind of how that looks. But if Florida State plays like they did last night, at least in the second half, they're not losing to anybody. I don't care if it's Georgia. Georgia doesn't have anybody that can guard Keon Coleman and Johnny Wilson and Jaheim Bell. Now, they might score on you too, but I'm telling you, their defensive backfield is not that good. I don't know if anybody in the country guards Florida State. And you got to stay healthy. You got to stay motivated. You got to stay up. You can't get tripped up. And that's the biggest thing. I heard some people talking about it today. It was easy to get up for LSU. Let's not kid ourselves. That is a very easy game to get up for. Can you get up for Southern Miss? Can you get up for Boston College? Can you get up for Syracuse? Can you get up for Virginia Tech? Can you get up for Wake Forest? Sleepy noon game, I'm sure it's going to be up there on Snuggy Hill. Can you get up for some of those? Now, I think you'll get up for Pitt. Pitt's not going to trip you up. I think you'll get up for Miami. You'll get up for Florida. But can you get up for some of those other ones that maybe aren't as sexy? At the end of the day, you are going to be a favorite in every game you play from here on out, with exception to maybe that Clemson game. See, though.
I disagree, yeah. I
think there's a chance you could be a favorite going into that. I think it'd be close. Clemson's still a three-point favorite now. I think they're waiting to see what happens with this.
Yeah,
maybe a pick 'em. But then if you rematch them in the ACC championship, I think you're the slight favorite, on a neutral field. So you need to split with Clemson at this point and not get tripped up by anybody else. Speaking of Clemson, I want to get your thoughts on this because you were there, and so I want to see what your thoughts were. It was obviously very different because in 2013 we dominated Clemson from really the opening kickoff until the end of the game. But the second half felt like that Clemson game. It felt like this is domination for the entire country to see. This is we do whatever the hell we want, and you can't stop us. We're running the same counter. Oh, we talked about it with Blake. We're running the same counter over and over and over again. We're throwing it up to the same guy over and over and over again. You will not touch it, and that's what it felt like. Again, maybe not the first half. That was close, but it felt like Clemson 2013 to me.
Yeah, and I was there, and that was a phenomenal game. And that was a little different, like you mentioned, TJ, because the first play of the game, LaMarcus Joyner strips the ball, and Florida State gets the fumble, goes down and scores immediately. It was a blowout from start to finish. This one took a little bit longer, but that second half last night felt a lot like that 2013 Clemson game in totality. Just the way Florida State dominated. You go on a 31-0 run against a top five team, the defending SEC West champions. Are you kidding me? Florida State did that. That happened last night. We all witnessed it. Whether you were in Camping World Stadium watching on TV or you watched the highlights of the condensed game on YouTube today, it doesn't matter. That was pure domination. And it was nothing but, relief and just being relaxed up there at the game last night in that second half. Even when we made it to 38-17, I'm like, okay, cool. Then we make it 45-17. I was pissed about the last touchdown for LSU, but garbage time doesn't matter. Yeah, it felt like that whole second half, that where Florida State did what they wanted to. And I don't know how anybody's going to stop this offense this year. We talked about this on our preseason shows. We talked about it in the pregame for LSU with Blake. This Florida State offense, who are you going to double? You can't double Keon. You can't double Johnny. And the perfect, definition of what this game was to me was that last touchdown of the game that didn't matter. When Jaheim Bell just dismisses this poor LSU defender, runs him over, and just puts the ball behind his back like, yeah, what do you expect to happen? that's what Florida State is again. And we haven't seen this in a long time, probably since maybe 2013, 2014 was fun, but this type of swagger and this type of domination, we have not seen since 2013.
You know, I think we all believed in this team. I think we all thought that this team was going to be very good, but I think there were some unanswered questions and there were some, I wouldn't say doubts, but there were just some like some wonder about could this team live up to the expectations. Again, I think it's really easy to play the underdog. I think it's really easy to play the nobody believes in us card. Yeah. That's why Kirby Smart tries to get his guys to believe that they were somehow going 7-5, right? Like that's why teams that are favored by a billion still try to play that underdog because it's so much easier. But I love the way that Norvell and the team have embraced expectations. I love the way that they have said, like, no, we're going to be good. We're going to be cocky. We're going to beat people. Bring it on. You know, I tweeted this, and if you're not signed up for the Battles End, nights like last night should be a huge encouragement for you to go sign up and support what they're doing. Because if you enjoyed last night at all, that crap don't happen with the Battles End. Jared Verse ain't here. Jordan Travis ain't here. Keon Coleman ain't here. Jaheim Bell ain't here. Johnny Wilson ain't back. Josh Farmer's not back from when Miami and Georgia tried to tamper with him. So I'm just telling you, if you enjoyed last night at all, you better be signed up for the Battles End. If you enjoy our content, if you sign up for our Patreon, in our Discord, any of that stuff, follow us on Twitter, you ought to be signed up for the Battle End. But they tweeted going for it all in 2023, and they did that early. They did that really early in like one of their first couple of tweets. Maybe it was Ingram's first tweet about it. I don't remember. But that was cute to me. Not, I think that was cute there, but oh, that's cute. Yeah, like we're going for it all. Like, awesome. You know, like, oh, we're the Seminoles. We you know, blah, blah, blah. No, they meant that crap, bro. This was not like, this was not like, oh, that's cool. Like, they just, that, you know, no, they meant it. And Florida State, I mean, we got to see how Georgia plays their schedule. And I think Georgia's going to be really, really good. And I think they'd be favored by 10 against Florida State on a neutral field right now, which is fine. But I think that Florida State is not afraid of anybody else in this country. And no. I don't know how it's going to end up. I don't know if it's, I mean, you know, Clemson could come out here and we are going to cut out before 8 o'clock, but Clemson could come out here and put 60 on Duke. And we might say, that game's not going to be as easy as we thought.
Fair.
So that's
fair.
You, in theory, you could lose to Clemson twice and you could go, what would that be? 11-1. Or 11-2.
11-2,
yeah. 11-2 and then play in a New Year's Six Bowl. And that, you know, would probably feel like a little bit of a gut punch if I told you that now. But I think that if you're Florida State, you have to like your odds and your chances of competing for that college football playoff. I think when the rankings come out tomorrow, I think Florida State should be 3. I think they'll be anywhere from 3 to 5. I think they look better than Ohio State.
They should be 2, to be honest, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think they had the most impressive win. You know, I'm fine with keeping Georgia 1. Not really, though. I mean, Florida State's been the most impressive team so far, you know, in college football. But yeah, 2, 3. I think they'll be 4 or 5 if I had to guess. Yeah. I mean, so it's all right there in front of them, right? Everything they want is right there. And we'll see if they can get it. Let me give some real quick love to a couple of people. And then let's talk about JT for the Heisman real quick. But let me give some love to Garnet and Gold. Listen, garnetandgold.com, use code NOSLAW, NOSLAW, if you are shopping for any FSU gear, anything that you need in that realm, they will get you taken care of, garnetandgold.com. Let me give a real quick shout-out to thegramco.com, thegramco.com, TJ25 at checkout for all of your Delta 8 needs, wants. I found a vape in the back of my car last night, driving back from the tailgate. Hopefully you guys have ordered your Gramco, thegramco.com. And then Knapp Accident Injury Law. They are a full-service personal injury law firm. My boy Alex was out at the tailgate yesterday. We were having a great time. Hopefully you guys joined us. But they handle car accident cases, trucking accident cases, motorcycle and pedestrian accidents, as well as ride share like Uber and Lyft. Alex provides personal service and communication. Every one of his clients gets his personal cell phone, so you don't deal with a case manager or paralegal. Make sure that you're taking advantage of our partnership with Knapp Law if you are hurt or injured in a car accident or know anyone else who might be. All right, Richie, I tweeted this today, and I got some hate. I thought I was being pretty nice, but I said my top three for the Heisman, no order. Jordan Travis, Keon Coleman, and don't kill me, 300 people in this chat. Jordan Travis, Keon Coleman, Travis Hunter are my top three for the Heisman right now. What do you think?
It's Caleb Williams. It's Jordan Travis. And it's probably Michael Penix Jr. And if we're looking at the MGM odds right now, Caleb Williams plus 450, Michael Penix Jr. plus 850, and Jordan Travis, the third best odds at plus 1,000. Next best is J.J. McCarthy at plus 1,700 of Michigan. Yeah, Jordan Travis did what he had to do if he wants to be in New York. As of right now, he's got a spot in New York waiting for him. That reservation is made. They got the seat warm for him. They're getting things prepared. But if he does what we hope he can do in 3 weeks up in Clemson, yeah, he's in New York, and he's probably walking home with the Heisman Trophy, because the committee does not, or the voters do not want to give the Heisman Trophy to the same person 2 years in a row. They haven't done it since the 70s with Archie Griffin for Ohio State. Caleb Williams, I think they're going to lose a couple games. That defense is suspect at USC right now. That's very suspect. But if Florida State does what I think they're going to do, 11-1 minimum, potentially 12-1 going to the playoff, and Jordan Travis has a game like he had last night a couple more times, especially in the big ones, Clemson, you know, maybe not big games because the opponents suck, but still rivalry games against Miami and Florida. Yeah, he's got a really good chance, and he's a likable guy, which matters a lot. It shouldn't. There's a lot of politics in college football. But yeah, I think he has a legitimate shot at winning the Heisman. And last night just it amplified that by a million, because now he is the clear number three. I think he's above Penix Jr. of Washington. It's going to be between Jordan Travis and Caleb Williams, in my opinion.
So I think that what you mentioned about him being a likable guy, as well as I think Heisman voters love a story. And I think they love a story more than they love stats. And so that's why I just really think Caleb Williams has no chance, is they want a new flavor of the month. I mean, there were so many years that LeBron should have won the MVP, but like they just didn't give it to him because it was like, it's boring. And I think that happens in Heisman voting too. So I think Caleb, I wouldn't say he's out of it, but like I'm almost not even counting him. And I agree with you. Like, I think he's going to, you know, he's going to lose a bunch of games, not a bunch, but he'll lose a few games and kind of, you know, get bumped down. I think the story of Jordan Travis's development, what he's come from until now, it's very well documented. I think Florida State's done a good job with their campaign. Keon's kind of he would have to continue that three touchdown games every week for a long time to get it
on pace for 45 touchdowns.
But as of right now, that I got him there again. And don't kill me for this, but Travis Hunter playing 140 snaps and dominating on both sides of the ball.
He is so good. So
yeah,
good.
It was unreal. And a lot of people were like, oh, he can't do it when he gets to power five. He's too small. Buddy, I don't think TCU is amazing, but they're going to win more games out there than I thought. Shedeur Sanders would be another one that maybe you could throw in there. Maybe he'd be in my top five-ish, threw for 500 yards against a decent TCU defense that returned a lot of guys in a good secondary. So, I think that all of those guys have everybody besides Williams all kind of have stories. They've all, done some special things. So again, to me, Jordan, if Jordan and them go, if they go 12-1 or 13-0, Richie, I think he's winning it. You know, he's going to have some chances for some Heisman moments. And that's what matters. He's already had one last night. He's going to get another opportunity in 3 weeks. Then late in the year, you play your rivals. And even if Florida and Miami are not good, those are still going to be big-time televised games. You're going to get a chance probably on the road at Pittsburgh. That'll probably be a pretty big televised game. Obviously, the ACC Championship, which we would anticipate we will be there. Hey, we're going to do a tailgate for the ACC Championship, so make your plans to be to Charlotte in December. I told you guys that when we were doing Spaces with Newberg last year, but I meant it for this year. I was just a year ahead. We're going to Charlotte, so y'all come hang out. But he's going to have a lot of chances to impress voters. So anyway, that Colorado game was insane. We haven't been on here since, but obviously the Utah game was great. They're in so much trouble, it's not even funny. Miami game, probably tough to really glean much from, two JV teams named Miami playing each other on a Friday night. But we'll see what they do with Jimbo coming to town this weekend. But Richie, any closing thoughts, any final thoughts before we jump out?
No, we talk about conference realignment recently. 10.3 million viewers last night. The most watched since 2016. Oh, Florida State versus Ole Miss. We just draw eyeballs to television sets. That was clear last night. It was clear if you bought tickets on the secondary market for the game last night, like I had to, because I missed my booster email and did not do what I should have done. Yeah, this Florida State team, you want this brand in your conference. If you're the Big Ten, the SEC, you want to do everything you can to get Florida State in your conference because the eyeballs are there. The ticket prices are clear. And my goodness, wait till the end of September. If Florida State's 4-0, they will be the primetime box office boys every single week. How about you, TJ?
Yeah, I'm really excited for this season. And, you know, obviously you started out the way you did. It you know, I looked at Kara today and I said, hey, you want to go up to Tallahassee for the game this weekend? You know, we got somebody who's watching the kids. And I was like, we can just go just us. And she was just like, oh, I don't know. And I was like, yeah, I'm just kind of on a dopamine high right now. So I probably don't really want to make the trip to watch us blow them out. But 45-24, Encyclopedia, my guy. Thank you. Go Noles.
Touchdown, Florida State. Touchdown, FSU.
But, yeah, that dopamine's still hitting right now. I haven't lost it just yet. So, yeah, it was a ton of fun. Tailgate was amazing. We had so much fun out there, and we really appreciate you guys for showing up. Again, biggest one I've ever done. Nothing, you know, that just means we need to do it bigger in Charlotte. I mean, we had well over 500 people come out. I think it was up closer to like 7 now that I've gotten some of the final numbers back and stuff. But I think we had about 700 people out there. We got to go for a grand in Charlotte. So let's do it. Thank you guys for hanging out. Thank you guys for all the support. Again, I got something you guys are going to flip out over that's coming first thing tomorrow morning. Also, a big recruiting update. That might come out tomorrow afternoon. So stay tuned for both those things. Make sure that you hit the subscribe button. We're trying to get to 10,000 as fast as we can. We're getting close. Trying to get to 10,000. Richie, I'm still in awe. I'm still in shock. Hey, while you're watching the Clemson game tonight, FSU's already put out the cinematic recap. So jump out of this video when we're done. Go to the FSU page, Twitter, YouTube, whatever. Cinematic recap already out. Shout out those people because getting that out less than 24 hours after the game is ridiculous. Usually it's coming out like 2-3 games later or 2-3 days later last year. So shout out FSU football for getting that out quickly. And I think that's all we got for tonight. I'm running out of steam. I'm running out of voice. Thank you guys for your support. Had a great time yesterday. Great time today on the show with you guys. Richie Harlan, thanks for all you do. We will talk to you guys soon. Go Noles.